Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to Woo Dev Chat, a Do the Woo podcast show. Woo! Woo! This show is brought to you by Avalara, who wants to help developers make sure their Woo projects are tax compliant and done right with Avalara's API. I'll tell you more about Avalara later in the show, but let's dive into today's Woo Dev Chat.
Well, hello there. Welcome to the show. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Marcel. I'm good. And yourself?
I am wonderful. It's September. Summertime is ending. Vacation was just a couple of weeks ago. So I guess in the more perfect mood you can get in the year.
Yeah, the gray weather has really shown us that summer might be over. I think we'll get a second wave, right? Usually.
Yeah, it seems it's going to be some cool weather coming. There's something in Portugal called Verão de São Martinho that's basically saying that there is a special time of the year in October where there's just this little extra sun coming in and warm weather that gives you like a last goodbye kiss of the summer. And it seems like this year we're going to have it a little bit earlier than October. Well, today we're going to go ahead and talk about WooCommerce and hosting, the critical aspects for anyone running an online store in WordPress. And unlike a regular WordPress site, WooCommerce introduces, I guess, unique challenges to the dynamic of the nature of e-commerce, things like product catalogs, customer data, and orders, and all of which place more demands on your hosting environment, right? And the right hosting can mean the difference between a smooth shopping experience or a sluggish website, I guess. Sales are directly affected by a good hosting. So I guess we could break down a little bit what our listeners need to know to ensure that WooCommerce sites performs as its best. And okay, let's kick things off by discussing. We keep talking about performance here, Mike. I feel like this is the third episode or fourth episode that the word performance is going to come out like multiple times a minute or an episode. I don't want this to be maybe yet another episode about performance and how important this and this and this and that. But having that said, the main task of a good hosting service is effectively to provide performance to your website, right? So performance is actually crucial for both the user experience, SEO, for sales results, and all of that. If the store loads slowly, the visitors will leave before making a purchase. Search engines may rank you as a lower result. So it's definitely a key factor in performance, the hosting and the server response time and all of that, right? As a general rule, or like if you had 30 seconds to give somebody good advice about hosting, what would you say?
Pick something with enough resources and tools and quality support to help you through any challenges that may arise as part of being an e-commerce store owner. And those, like what you said, is a very good list. I would add employee productivity. Mm-hmm. I have some clients who have 10 people in the back end processing orders all the time, right? Like that's all uncached. It's requires a lot of resources and checking in the database for stuff. And then also business to business components, right? Like if the APIs that your business needs to talk to another business that's fetching information, that's going to require resources as well. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, those three things I think are the most important, the poor quality tools and resources. Without those, you're going to be sacrificing some kind of quality overall, whether it's for your users, your employees, or for your own, if you're a stakeholder, profits and stuff like that.
Right. And when you say support tools, do you also mean the actual support service that a hosting company provides, not only whatever you can get through a dashboard of some sorts, but also talking to somebody. Is that important to you?
Yeah, definitely. I think talking to support staff, if you've worked with WooCommerce for long enough, is generally one of the most like, how is this going to go? It could either go really well. You get someone who is enthusiastic and interested in troubleshooting together, finding solutions. And then you have other support staff who are like, there's nothing we can do, or they try and point the finger somewhere else and are not trying to help you directly with the issue. And then as well as that too, it's having the tools available to do troubleshooting, like having the command line access with SSH, phpMyAdmin, or similar tools to be able to investigate things in the database, New Relic or other things for gathering rich amounts of data. I know some service hosting companies have their own APM tool, and they have their own in-house scripts that they've built over time to help you scan logs and look for patterns and that kind of stuff. So I think, yeah, both are really important.
Yeah, that's why I asked you, because in our freelance work that we do, sometimes we need to sort of like do the job of a good host support agent and sort of like translate it, let the client know what the issue is or might be, and just do a little bit the bridge that one has to do between support and our client. Because sometimes support will say, yeah, this is this plugin that is running slow, this is this other thing, and you should contact your developer and stuff like that. And sometimes they're right, but sometimes it seems like they're definitely lazy about investigating the issue. But I think there are a couple of, well, this is getting better from time to time. I guess competition is responsible for improving all of this services. And there are some really good, like you said, that they have their own tools and they're very quick and immediately identify what the issue is. Or being proactive as well, maybe mentioning that your website is running slow, there's a long-running task occupying a lot of CPU power, and they go ahead and inform the client about it. All of this, I think, is super important, right?
Yeah, I like the, you just reminded me, there's a few hosts that they'll send out emails if there's been a 502 bad gateway or 504 timeout, right? Or, hey, we found malware, or you're running this plugin version that has a known security vulnerability, right? So I think the proactivity is one of the most attractive components of a hosting company for sure.
Right. So I guess if we would begin establishing like a list of all the things that people should look out for a hosting company, well, besides price and CPU power and memory and all of that, I guess one of the most important factors is really how support works and what support provides in terms of service when things go wrong, or when you need help, or when we need advice. So yeah, before committing to any host service, just try to figure out a little bit more about how support provides. Because I personally think it's probably the most important thing you can get. I mean, if the memory is low, that support guy will tell you increase memory and it will work, right? Or if CPU is not enough, add more CPU power to your hosting, or this or that. So it's always going to end up being in supports the information that you're looking for when you have difficulties. And managing hosting and leveraging what is the best plan and what I need and et cetera is something that is a decision that it will make today. Probably in a month's time or in a year's time when your store grows, you're going to have to revisit all of those choices again, and you're going to have to fine-tune the hosting service that you just hired to be more efficient for your successful store that you're running. And so that's not that much important at the beginning, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you, like I said, if you have enough resources and things are performing well, things are smooth, then there's not too much to worry about. But as hopefully the store is growing and being successful, and you then have to adapt over time, and it's really useful to have support staff at the hosting company who can help you assess what your needs actually are, resource what we'll be able to accommodate. As every store is different, right? Like I think we've both seen plenty of them, and there's always just a little, you know, they're never ever exactly the same. There's always a few differences.
And when you see those pricing tables, they usually talk about the bandwidth, the CPUs, and this and this. And some of them do mention a couple of support services or support nuances. But talking to actually somebody before committing to a hosting service is a good idea. Or maybe asking other people or the community or any social media for advice on that. But having that said, okay, so now let's see. We've talked about the support. It's important. The different places where the data centers are and the different areas of the world the hosting service covers is also important, especially for stores. If you want to have a very fast running store, and if you're operating worldwide, it's important for you to know where that hosting service has their data center so that you can expand your assets or different resources to those data centers. But let's dive into more specifically really what's the importance about memory, disk speed, PHP workers, caching systems, database optimization, security backups, and scalability at the end. So let's start with the memory. I will just introduce very quickly how important memory is. And Mike, maybe I'll propose you this format. I give you a statement about what memory is and how important it is to WooCommerce. And you either agree or disagree with me and add your points to it. Sounds good?
Sounds good.
All right. So if we talk about memory, why is memory important? We know that WooCommerce requires more memory, more RAM than a typical WordPress site because it's all dynamic contents, right? We have products, we have reviews, shopping carts, we have customer data. So if you're running a small store, maybe 1 or 2 gigabytes of RAM may be sufficient. But for larger stores and high traffic websites, you would need 4, 8, 10, 12, 16, I don't know, to run, just to make sure everything runs smoothly, right? And without enough RAM, your server could become very overwhelmed. You could have slowing down pages and the cause of crashes, which is obviously the last thing that you want to have. What do you think about RAM? How important is RAM?
Yeah, it's really important for sure. Like if, especially for the database, you know, if you don't have enough RAM for the database, then queries will time out or get terminated, and that can cause all kinds of weird issues where things didn't get synchronized or didn't add to a queue that needed to be, you know, processed later. And then you also have PHP. Some plugins use a lot of RAM, right? So you need to, one of the things we often have to adjust is the memory limit in PHP so that certain tasks can execute. So those, it's one of those things you can't oversell. If you start to use on hosting, where if you start to allocate more RAM than physically, that's one that was physically available, it won't work. And if you try and use virtual memory, right, if you remember back in the day, right, we would have like RAM disk and stuff like that, and that's the just RAM is always going to be faster than hard drives, even if I don't think SSDs will ever get, eventually maybe SSDs will just be RAM chips. That would be cool, but I have a feeling that's quite expensive.
And RAM specifically has to have the ability to quickly read write in a way and in a speed that SSDs are not designed to do. If we would have a world where SSDs and RAM would be the same chip, I guess the only company could be able to do that would be Apple. But jokes aside, it's sort of like every one of these two components have their own job to do in the environment. You talked about database and the RAM importance for the database, but there's also the PHP side of it, right? So when you're working with RAM, RAM is basically shared between two main things, database and the PHP. So PHP, when it runs, it needs memory to do its calculation. And when it's done, it just serves the results to the web server, which then displays to the client, right? So having PHP tasks that also take a lot of memory is also important in this case. But that is fairly easy to measure and to know. And if you have a task that PHP task that takes a lot of memory, then that's usually a bad sign. So increasing memory to cover up PHP memory leaks is not a good thing to do, but it's also an important part of the process.
I agree.
Then we have disk speed, right? So the disk is another critical factor, particularly when you're handling large amounts of data. And we know that with WooCommerce, we can get that. But basically for WooCommerce, I guess SSDs, the solid state drives, are almost always a better choice than the traditional HDDs. And SSDs are mainly faster to read and write data, which is especially important for large WooCommerce stores with, I would say, thousands of products or images or orders or customers. So having SSD can significantly improve site load times, which obviously are crucial for keeping customers engaged. We are old enough to have been around the transition from HDDs to SSDs in the hosting world, right? Was that the same for you? Like, thank God we already have SSDs for hosting. And did that, in your experience, provide a huge performance impact?
Yeah, I mean, nowadays, right, like you wouldn't ever choose a host that didn't use solid state drives because, it's directly related to performance and database. Like, you want the database stored on SSD, not in, not a hard drive, like the old school ones. I'm pretty sure there are instances where I've witnessed this happen, usually from like very low cost hosting on a machine that was older than it should have been for being allowed to be in the web hosting space. And then you move them somewhere that uses modern technology and the client is like, whoa, like, you know, my time to first byte used to be 15 seconds and now it's, you know, a second, right? And they're like, I cannot believe that makes that big of a difference. So if you are lucky enough to find a client site that's still using an old school hard drive and you move to an SSD, I'm sure you see a significant boost.
I guess nowadays HDDs in a hosting environment are used for more static data or for large data sets that you don't provide them specifically in a dynamic way to a web server. It would be more considered about saving data files that are just accessed sporadically. And so you do see some hosting companies offering this large amounts of hosting space for this specific use. And they are usually using HDDs because there is still this discussion around which one of those two different types of drives are the last the longer, right? Because SSDs are more prone to fail, I guess, than HDDs. But then again, we have bad experiences with HDDs as well if you mess with them too much or if they, well, when they're in the hosting environment, nobody will touch them. But they are also very sensible to movements and to heat and other factors, right? I do remember the time where we had this transitions from HDDs to SSDs on our personal computers, especially the people who had Apple computers in early, around 2012, 2011, 2012, where there was a transition between HDDs and SSDs, and people were buying these external SSDs and putting them into the USB connection and just booting off of these external SSDs. And some of the people also like tweaked the computers and opened them up and installed the SSDs inside and replaced for the HDD. And we got huge improvements in speed and suddenly the operating system was loading. We would say as it seemed like it would be running off the memory only, there would be no hard drive. And I guess we can say the same for hosting, right? So files being read very quickly is a lot more efficient for hosting.
Yeah, definitely. I do remember there's one hosting company that they had. I brought a client that had so much images. It was like an Android news website, right? So they had so many images and they needed terabytes and terabytes. It was insane how this was, and we ended up, because the SSDs were going to be so expensive, we ended up using hard drives in a RAID or something like that. And because it was just for the images, like obviously you want to read the images as quickly as possible as well, similar to the database, but it was the only way that they could have a sustainable long-term growth because of how much the image library grew every day. They needed something that made sense for the next, 10 years at least. I would just add to that. So it's an important little piece. Do they still have their place, right? Like my Synology NAS, and you have one as well, right? Where I chose Western Digital Red hard drives for like the enterprise thingies.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're designed to run for all 24/7 and also last the longest, right? I think SSDs, they have a limited number of writes, right? Isn't that the main?
Yeah. There's some calculations around how many times they can read and write and which defines their lifetime cycle. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas hard drives are not unlimited, but it's like, you have other problems at that point. You probably won't be alive anymore.
Exactly. All right. That's the disk topic. Let's talk about another topic and let's talk about PHP workers, which is not every hosting company discloses how many PHP workers one can get when we do a hosting plan with them. But basically, and I think they're often overlooked, but they're a very essential aspect of a hosting for WooCommerce specifically. So for everyone listening and who doesn't know what PHP workers are, in simple terms, they handle the simultaneous process that occurs on your website. So let's things like, for example, multiple users adding a product to their cards or checking out at the same time. So if you don't have enough PHP workers, your site will slow down, right, during business times. And because there aren't enough resources to process all the requests, people are going to wait for the requests to process. So from the time that you ask for a specific URL and by the time you get the result delivered, that's the time that the hosting will spend doing some sort of work, calculating some result for you to show on the website. And PHP workers are essentially the processes that take that request, they process it, they run the PHP script, and they deliver the page that you're requesting, right? So those 200 milliseconds, 400 milliseconds, they're going to be busy doing something. So if you have 10 people coming in, there's going to be eventually a queue, and people are going to be waiting for their turn to get the process running, to get the PHP worker running. So if you think it like a restaurant, if there aren't enough waiters, service gets slow. It's kind of the same thing. PHP workers are expensive for hosting companies, and they are also expensive for the resources that you have on your hosting side, but they are an important part of it. What's your take on PHP workers?
Yeah, I wanted to add to the waiter example is you have service will slow down, but you also get people leaving, which would be like a 502 bad gateway, right? Where it's like, exactly. There's not enough service, I'm leaving.
With a bad review, yeah, exactly.
Which is what happens if a visitor comes to your site to try and buy something, and you just see an error message, right? 502 bad gateway. It's like, oh, then they just leave. Some people will be patient and try and reload, but
right,
attention is harder and harder to maintain these days.
Avalara wants to make sure that your projects go smooth, and part of that includes doing it right with their API. Their resources cover it all to help your clients manage sales and use, excise, GST, VAT, and other tax types across the US and abroad. You'll find it all on their site, and you'll be learning more on how they can help you during their sponsorship of WooDev Chat. Want to learn more? Just go to developer.avalara.com.
Why do you think hosting companies, they don't disclose how many PHP workers they have?
I think it's a tricky thing to make equal. It's kind of because it's very related to CPU and also the way that your site functions. So I think it can be misleading to, for example, say you have 32 virtual CPUs, right? And you have 500 PHP workers, the CPU cores and PHP workers, in my experience, are not created equally across hosting spaces. Or because CPU is something that you can oversell and split. So if I have a 32 physical CPU cores, I can easily split that into 20 or 30 virtual machines that have 4 or 8 CPUs, and it will just split and make them weaker between them, right? Whereas the kind of hosting I really like is when it's a physical dedicated machine and you're not using virtual CPUs at all. And the PHP workers from that kind of machine tend to be way more powerful and in executing scripts and stuff compared to ones on oversold VPS sort of style hosting.
And PHP workers, because they work simultaneously on a specific task, they are consuming CPU resources, and it's sort of like you would make feel like, okay, so I have 4 cores, so I can have at least 4 PHP workers, but I could also have 8 PHP workers. We could split each core between 2 PHP workers, but the more PHP workers you add, the slower them themselves will run because they're concurrently running and doing their task. And so that will eventually also slow down. You will serve more people at the same time, but everybody will get a slower response at the end of the day. So it's not a linear thing. It doesn't seem like the more PHP workers you have, the faster it will go. There's some certain limit. So that's why I think also hosting companies don't disclose their PHP workers, because it's a game of being the best performant, but also not just wasting a lot of resources in PHP worker when that's not clearly needed. That's not the case, right? And also there's some sort of like an energy consumption worry behind this as well. You don't just simply want to have a bunch of processes running all the time. So it's kind of like a game. But some of the hosting companies do provide those numbers, and they do a marketing offering according to PHP workers. And the more that they're offered doesn't always mean the faster the hosting side.
Yeah, very true. And it also depends a lot on the nature of the site and what it's doing. So I remember a client who they did a lot of uncached activity. So the idea was you would land on a website, and then they had a single sign-on thingy that you could connect your login to, and it would make an API request to a third party to authenticate, and then it would let you go shopping for some exclusive deals or whatever. And we were doing load testing to get ready for the holiday season, because it was for a very, very large company, and we found that they were running out of PHP worker threads. Even though we had a dedicated server with a huge amount of resources, and the CPU was basically flat, the RAM was not going that high, but PHP workers were running out, and we were getting errors. And I had a long discussion with the hosting company to say, look, like, we're using that lane, right? Like, yeah, we're sort of like keeping a waiter at the table, but it's because we're waiting for information from, you know, we're taking an order from a friend who's running late, right? And we just want to, waiting for the feedback from them to give to the waiter. So it's not like the waiter is stressed or like carrying a lot of plates necessarily or whatever. It's just sort of being idle and waiting for information to come back. And I think that's an important part, that like, if the PHP worker is not actively processing a lot of information, and like, you know, you picture the waiter is running around constantly, sometimes they're idle, not doing much, and it's okay to allocate more PHP worker threads in situations like that if you're monitoring the system and you can see that it's not stressed. You know, if CPU and RAM are showing very low levels of usage, then you can ramp up the PHP workers. But if in the opposite way, if you have, I remember one of the first VPSs I ever provisioned and set up, it had, you know, 1 CPU core, right? And 512 megabytes of RAM. Yeah. And I was determined to run things on as few resources as possible and just rely on caching, because it was a very cache-friendly website. It wasn't a WooCommerce store. And I just kept increasing the PHP worker threads available, the you know, MPM max children. And you can put it as high as you want, but then when I did load testing for uncached responses, the server froze completely, you know. And when I had SSH in, the load number was like, you know, 200 and something, which it should be. Should be as close to one or one times the number of CPU cores that you have. It was just like, you know, you could just imagine these poor waiters. They're like, there was a lot of very, very tiny waiters carrying a lot of stuff, and that none of them knew where they were going anymore. They were all confused, and the queue just got so backed up.
I would imagine if this podcast would include video, we would put up a a graphic of tiny waiters in multiple restaurants and just running around and being unorganized, and then it would be very interesting to organize that. I completely forgot. So, like, we've been talking about importance of RAM and disk space and PHP workers, but we're not naming numbers, right? So I would try to like give people a little bit of some ideas of what the numbers are for each of these individual components, let's call it that, that the hosting company can offer. And I guess, I'll name some numbers, and then you correct me if I'm good with my numbers or not. But this is basically like the same thing like with engines in a car, right? If you have BMW, for example, they're famous to have these big engines. They have 3 liters, 4 liters engines, and you just throw a bunch of gasoline in it, the explosion is huge. They have this thick engine walls that can handle all the explosion. Then you have superpower. You have a lot of power because you really just have thick walls and a lot of gasoline exploding inside those cylinders, right? So that's one way to do it. Let's call it the easy way. It's not an easy way to have a very big controlled explosion inside a cylinder, but let's call it easy. The more tricky way is to have a 1 liter engine or a 1.5 liter engine and have an explosion that has almost the same kind of force or power that has this bigger explosion. But because you've adapted the shape of the cylinder, but because you made it a special mixture between air and combustion and all of that, because you've took a little bit more time into figuring out how to almost get the same kind of force with a lot less energy, I guess that's a little bit the comparison that we're making here, right? You can obviously have 16 gig of RAM and 16 CPUs and a lot of disk space and everything would run smoothly. Yes, but is that efficient? Do you need all of that? Are you using your BMW to drive 5 kilometers to take your kid to school? Or do you do 300 kilometers every day and you really need that strong engine to work in your ways, right? So having that in mind and taking into consideration that everything is running smoothly, you don't have custom code that is just occupying a lot of resources, I would say less than 50 concurrent users, 2 gigabytes of RAM is enough. If you have 100 to 200 concurrent users, I think 4 gigabytes, and more than 200 concurrent users, it would be 8 plus 16 gigabytes. I think this is a good number. Would you agree with these numbers?
I think those are probably safe starting points, assuming the database is not huge, right? That would be one caveat, right? If you have a 20 gigabyte database, then you're going to want to start with at least 32 gigs of RAM, I'd say, or more. But yeah, that I think, and then load test now, you know, people are getting prepared for the holiday season. Black Friday is coming up, and I would load test the most resource hungry scenarios you can think of in terms of the marketing stuff you're doing, whether it's newsletters or paid traffic on Meta or Google or whatever it is, and see. We're doing something right now with a client, and once they get to 200 users, things are not going well. So we're identifying the bottlenecks with new click and coming up with strategies of how to mitigate them.
And the strategy is definitely not just, okay, let's just double RAM and everything is good, right? Because that's also a cost that people have to take into consideration. You don't have infinite money to pay these resources and just be happy with it, right?
Yeah, I think during the holiday season is where people tend to be more open to the idea of just throwing resources at the problem. It's certainly the the easiest, easiest solution. Even if it costs more, usually it's going to be worth it, because if your site is crashing, you're not making as much money for sure. But in general, I don't like the idea of, just keep throwing resources at it until it works properly. You know, I think you and I would go and identify what is taking so long. Does that code optimize correctly? Yeah, is there a way to rewrite it so it's more intelligent, the way that it processes data and using less RAM and stuff like that? So,
and it's a lot more intelligent and rewarding if you figure out what's consuming that much resource. And then suddenly with the same kind of resources, you just double the speed of the website. There's something special about achieving that, right? Obviously, if you're time constrained and the special decision is coming and, okay, let's add some more RAM for this next 3 months and then we figure out later, fine. But the figuring out later part needs to happen sometime.
Yeah, websites are just like a house or an F1 car. Like, you can't just keep adding stuff to it or turning something on and forgetting you left it on, right? Like, if you have a basement and you turn the water on to do some sort of task and then you got distracted and left it on, and you're adding more and more resources to be able to accommodate a flood that you don't need for any business purposes, I think that's really important, because a lot of the times when I do investigations, but the thing that is gobbling up CPU or RAM or disk space is a feature that they tested once upon a time, is no longer used. The person at the company who suggested it is no longer with the company, or whatever. So I think this sort of website hygiene, maintenance stuff is just so important. And hosting companies can help you with that, right? If you're good hosting companies will tell you if you're about to run out of disk space. Because without disk space, nothing will work. You won't be able to do database operate. You won't be able to log into your WordPress site.
You might not be able to SSH into your hosting and do anything in there. Yeah.
Yeah. You can usually SSH in, but you running commands will just give you weird output. What do you mean? No. I can't. It's a very funny experience. So,
and the same thing with RAM, right? So if you run out of RAM and you need just a little extra to run some command to just basically kill something or do something, that's the same thing. As far as CPUs are concerned, 50 concurrent users to CPUs, I guess it's a good number for 100 and 200 concurrent users for CPUs, and to more than 200 consumers, you will need 8 CPUs. I would say it's a round number or more even, but do you agree with those numbers as well?
In general, I'd say they're probably good starting points. It's going to depend again on how many of those people are window shopping versus putting something in their cart, right? I think if you have caching set up properly, and you don't have a huge product catalog where every user is visiting different products, if you have a small catalog and you set up caching correctly, then you could have hundreds or thousands of window shoppers. So as soon as people are adding items to the cart, then the majority of caches are bypassed. And depending on how your site is tuned, we've seen this plenty of times where code is running unnecessarily. And for uncached visitors, WordPress runs a lot of functions, plugins execute a lot of code that doesn't need to be. And that can slow things down. So,
and as far as PHP workers are concerned, I would say on the same scale, so for 50 concurrent users to 100 to 200 concurrent users, I would say 4 PHP workers and more than 210 PHP workers.
Yeah, you could start with those and see what happens.
Let's talk about the big elephant in the room, caching systems. Caching is definitely one of the most effective ways to improve the performance, right, in an e-commerce store. There are different types of caching. There's page caching, which saves a static version of your website. But we all know that WooCommerce stores can only have that many static versions of pages. Not all pages can be static, like in a regular page. And those will be delivered without making your server do all the work from scratch, right? Then you have object caching, you have Redis, Memcache, you have those would help you with database queries. You have the browser caching, so the client side can also do some caching to save the resources locally on the user's devices. You have OP caching or UP code caching. You have a bunch of different caching systems to reduce the load on the server. I was thinking about asking you this question: how important is caching to you? But it's sort of like a stupid question, but I would rather ask you the experience that you have been having with your most recent clients, and taking into consideration that the hosting also can provide some caching solutions, and having in consideration the hosting services you've worked with. Do you think there's a hosting service who does it right, who nails the caching system for a WooCommerce setup? My answer is no, by the way.
I would say it's really difficult to do it perfectly because all stores are different, right? So I would say the best you can really expect from a hosting company is that they provide the tools and configuration possibilities necessary to be able to set up caching correctly for your site. I think that most hosts do a decent job of setting up things where, you know, the cart and checkout are excluded, that the cookies are excluded, that need to be like the items in cart one and stuff like that. Edge caching is becoming more and more popular now, thanks to like Cloudflare Enterprise integration is becoming easier. So you get to take advantage of that, which reduces time to first byte across the different locations. So I would say that no hosting company gets it perfectly correct, but I think a lot of them have a good starting point, like a good springboard for you to be able to configure things yourself. I saw a hosting company recently that helped their client cache login users for WooCommerce, or where it was, I thought it was really clever because you know, caching login just sounds like dark black magic. But their business model was such that people had to register an account and log in to be able to have access to the product catalog. So everything was uncached otherwise, right? But then once they, the way that they did it was really clever. It was, they basically set up a caching rules list for the product pages and did it by a special cookie. So admins and certain user roles that didn't want to have the login page caching enabled could set a special cookie and that would be automatically excluded. And all the other users who had registered an account to log in that had like the customer user role or whatever it was, they would get cached versions of the pages. And then a lot more PHP worker threads were available because before they were all being gobbled up by all the logged in users. And that was only because the hosting company allowed you to make, you know, they had a developer, not the hosting company, but the client, developed this custom plugin to look for those cookies and stuff like that. And then the hosting company were able to make that, implement the custom rules list for the different products. The things could be cached for those and not cached for others. So it was really clever, right? So, and I think that's a special use case, and I wouldn't expect every hosting company to. That would be amazing, but that would be like a very expensive, you know, a white glove VIP.
Exactly. Yeah. The thing that is special though about WooCommerce is that some of the pages cannot be cached in the same way that others. So the least that hosting companies need to be aware of when they're offering this WooCommerce specialized hosting services is that there are special pages within the WooCommerce store environment, and that you can also have yourself develop some special pages that you want to insert exclusions for a certain type of caching. And so the different types of caching need to be adapted to the nature of the store. Not only WooCommerce generally, but also if you want to add or remove some of the restrictions, and so to make it your own rules. And I think that's an important part of the hosting service and when choosing a hosting provider, that you know that you have a capability at least to talk to somebody to adapt to your different needs. And yeah, I think generally hosting services are getting better into accommodating those requests and making them really specialized for WooCommerce stores. If you have the knowledge to do it yourself, you can still go to AWS or Google Cloud or whatever and configure all the things yourself, which congratulations if you have the time and the knowledge to do that as a store owner. But most of those techniques are now available online, and most of them are also offered by the hosting companies under the hood. So it's definitely something you need to take a look at. Let's talk very quickly about database optimization. This is one that site owners often overlook. Since WooCommerce stores store a lot of data, and we talked about this in our previous episode, everything from a customer to order history, and your database can get bloated, right, and slow things down. And regularly optimizing the database by removing transients or optimizing tables, they can make a big difference in performance. And there are plugins that can help you with that. The hosting provider might also offer database optimization services. In 30 seconds, because I want to get to the end of all the topics that I have, Mike, what do you think? How important is database optimization?
I think it's similar to like disk space and other stuff. Like if you don't have an optimized database, then it's just the poor post table has everything in it, basically, right? At least it used to before HPOS or HPOS. And it's critical. Like if you want things, especially if you're growing, you need to have not extra crap in the database that you're sifting through for doing basic queries from WooCommerce and WordPress. It's not an optional thing. It's kind of like if you have a house and things are disorganized, or there's 50 more of a certain item in a drawer, it's cluttering up being able to find other stuff. That's the simplest analogy I can think of.
And also I would say if people want to know more about database and performance and well, that check out our previous episode here on Do the Woo. So security and backups. Security is vital, obviously, right? So there are a couple of measures that the hosting do take to provide more security. You're handling customer data and payments and all of that, so it's obviously very important. SSL mandatory, that's not even the topic to talk about. But backups are also very important, right? So, and backups are tricky because if you have a store that is running 24/7, which you have obviously, and you have a lot of orders coming in, and suddenly something happens and you need to restore a database, you're going to lose eventually some data, right? So there are some automated backup systems that are more clever than others, but that's definitely something you need to worry about, and your hosting company will help you a bunch if they take care of that part. Would you agree, Mike?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think any host nowadays they know backups are so important, and they need to be quick. Like to be able to take a backup shouldn't take hours and hours. And being able to restore a backup, unless it's a massive site, right? If it's a huge database, just inserting all those rows again, no matter how much, CPU. RAM, et cetera, that you have, it's just going to take time. But without it, and having those like hourly, someone let you do hourly backup.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or you have these different categories now where you have hourly, you have daily, and then you have automated backups that if you do push live to staging or you're restoring a backup, then the good hosting companies will take a snapshot before you restore that backup in case you're like, oh, oops, that wasn't the backup that I intended to, or this version of the backup didn't have the data that I wanted. And then you have manual backups too, right? When you're going to do your updates for every month or every week, whatever you're doing before the plugins and stuff, you want to take a backup, before plugin updates in case anything goes wrong.
So. Correct. Yeah. Snapshots are very useful. Having your backups done in a fast and quick way is also very useful. But also make sure that you at least check how to restore a backup. So not that you really have them. That's half of the job when things need to be taken care of and you have a problem. And knowing how to restore them quickly is as important as making them right.
Yeah. I would also say that verifying that your backups are actually valid and work is should be part of every store, like annual, like testing, that disaster recovery testing or whatever. Like, because like, oh, we have a backup. It's like, have you ever tested any of your backups? And people say no. It's like, how do you know that they work?
It's like a drill, fire drill, right? In a big company, you need to make them once or twice a year so people remember how to escape in building when the fire hits.
Yeah.
The last point I would say is scalability. When your WooCommerce store grows, you need to scale it. You might start with shared hosting, which is a term that we didn't use in this episode yet, but here it is. But as traffic increases, you might want to upgrade to a VPS or even a dedicated server. And for large businesses, usually they use AWS or Google Cloud. They are often a good fit because they allow you to scale the resources up and down on demand, right? And almost instantly. So it is important to choose a hosting provider that can grow with your store. And so you're not stuck with the limits that may hurt, or then you need suddenly to hire somebody to take care and move it to a different hosting, right? How much is it important when people start out to choose a hosting company that can scale a lot? Or do you think it's important that they can scale a lot? Do you think there's a segment of hosting services that are more adequate for store owners that are starting out, and there's others who are more adequate for people who have already their business running? What's your take on scalability?
That's a good question. I think it's always a good idea to bet on your own success. You know, like, it's good to pay growth, unless you know, for whatever reason, if it's a very small mom and pop store that sells, you know, lemonade homemade, and there's a limited amount, you're never going to you're not interested in having many warehouses and selling to thousands of people every day. I think it's important to have a hosting company that will grow with you,
right?
I'm sure you've experienced this too, when you have to move a client's WooCommerce store from one hosting platform to another, people get nervous, you know, like a lot of people have had a bad, you know, that migration sort of like trauma, right? Where there was like, oh, something didn't work. Like, they didn't check the PHP versions, or there was something, you know, they were using Apache and moved to something using Nginx, and something really important broke or whatever. So I think it's a really good idea to pick a hosting company that doesn't only offer shared hosting, but they have all different kinds.
Yeah,
you want to ideally keep the same IP address, so you don't have to worry about DNS propagation stuff in case you grow. And the good hosting companies will let you keep the same IP, because you can move an IP address from one machine to another, right?
And then we fall back again to the thing that we talked about at the beginning of the episode, which is the support part, right? So when you hit the threshold and you need to upgrade to a different plan, I've seen cases where the hosting company would say, yeah, well, unfortunately, then you need to do this and you need to do that. And they just took the whole thing back to the client and said, now you need to go to this page and do this and get this. That's not a good service, right? So if you're scaling, that means that the hosting company is a partner of that store, and they need to scale with them as well. And they need to provide them all the tools to offer them a better service. And at the end of the day, for the hosting company, it's a bigger invoice that you're going to pass through to the client. So it makes all the sense to say to the client, hey, you're growing. Shared hosting is not an option anymore. Don't worry. Let's schedule a migration when you have least visitors coming in. And by tomorrow morning, when you wake up, you have a new hosting service that will accommodate for your growth. And that's ideally the best hosting service that you want to have, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think when we're offering advice for clients, we usually want them to be prepared for the next 10, 20 plus years with whatever challenges they might face or growth opportunities. Like, you don't want them to miss out on something. So we have a handful of hosting providers we know can accommodate different types of stores and business models, so that they will, because it's hard to find hosts that will do horizontal scaling, multiple servers, because usually the way that their internal database works is as soon as you've added a domain name that maps right to a specific server, like you can't add another one. So even if you want to buy another, pay for another account and add another server, it just is like, nope, system says no. Vertical scaling is a lot more common. They're usually happy to let you resize your server and make it bigger, but sometimes you want parallel processing. Some clients want geo redundancy. So I have one that has servers in Chicago and in New Jersey, and there's a primary secondary database structure thing set up. So if Chicago goes down, New Jersey takes over, which is really cool, right? And a lot of providers don't support that kind of stuff either.
There are two other little things that I wanted to add before we come to an end, and that is bandwidth. Although right now bandwidth is almost some of the hosting providers, they offer unlimited bandwidth, or at least scalable options that allow you to add more bandwidth to your servers. But basically, bandwidth is maybe a number that you could calculate by taking your average page size. And if you get, for example, let's say your average page size is 2 megabytes, and you have 5,000 visitors per month, and each visitor views a page at about an average of five pages, then you do that calculation and you can come easily to 50 gigabytes a month if you have these numbers. I've never seen a case where I had a client which the company or the hosting company said they are taking too much bandwidth. They're going to be charged for that. But that's something that people need to look out as well, right? Just take a look at the numbers and see how much bandwidth you get with your hosting company.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I've seen bandwidth limits on the hosting company. Like now most of them have Cloudflare integrated, and then you know a lot of the bandwidth is passed off to them. What I've seen more commonly is outgoing emails, right? Like sometimes they have a rate limit on how many emails can go out from their servers, or they think that your site is under attack or malware of some kind, or of a malicious competitors trying to figure out how many orders you have, right? Like the order number, stuff like that. So that's something I see more commonly, that tends to be limited, or they have a monitoring enabled and they'll disable the outgoing emails, which is bad if you're running a sale. And you know, you want those emails to go out saying, hey, like this is your purchase, you know, so the user can follow along with their order. So that's important that if the hosting company limits that they notify you. And if you're going to have a big sale, that they remove that throttle, because then it spirals into support tickets from your customers. What's happening with my order? Da da da. And it's just bad experience for everyone, sucking up unnecessary resources.
100%. And lastly, if I, as a developer, can ask our fellow clients, people running the stores and choosing a hosting company, please choose a hosting company that allows us to spin up different environments, low-end environments like staging or performance environments, or whatever other types of non-production environments we can run. Because we definitely, most definitely, will ask you, the first thing we'll ask you, do you have a staging website? That's the first most famous phrase a developer freelancer can ask a client, right? Do you have a staging website? And if one cannot spin up a staging website on the same hosting provider quickly to figure out something or test something, or even for yourself, if you want to upgrade to a new plugin, or if you want to do something and improve your website in a certain way, you need different environments. And most of the hosting companies do offer them, but also look out for those if they don't charge you for the ones that are not at production level, because I don't think it's reasonable to charge for staging environments if they're not publicly accessible, they don't have the same kind of traffic that production sites have. And lastly, how do you monitor all of this? Hosting providers do offer dashboards where you can see the CPU usage, the memory usage, this space, also bandwidth. BHP workers sometimes do also offer. And you mentioned New Relic, right? So some of them also allow you to connect to your New Relic, or they offer a similar kind of tool that allows you to dig a little bit deeper into knowing which PHP tasks are running along or plugins that are consuming memory and all of that stuff. So having hosting providers dashboards is also something that you should look out for. There's so many things you should look out for, but I guess we've summed up on this episode the most important parts. Maybe we can bring somebody in the future to talk a little bit more about this, to talk about customer experiences and what people are actually contacting support to ask questions about. And so maybe in a future episode, we will bring somebody to share with us some of the most common stories around hosting and support and WooCommerce websites.
Yeah, I think we'll find someone from who works with a hosting platform very closely and can offer sort of on the ground, you know, experiential stuff of what they see. Because we're talking from the freelancer side, so we deal with a certain pedigree of and quality of website that's getting a certain amount of traffic or has certain challenges, but is all stores of all different shapes and sizes.
Yeah. I mean, you can check, you can monitor through this hosting provider's dashboard. You can have WordPress plugins installed. You can have server logs. You can have external monitors. But the support team person that is sitting in front of a terminal that only he has access to or she has access to and just types just wonderful commands that gives you immediately what the issue is with your website, that's what we're looking for. Everything else is just something that we can install and check for ourselves, but they'll never provide the same insights as somebody who is on the inside of the hosting provider and have this magic terminal that sometimes we would like to have as well, right?
Yeah. And I think that if you had to pick between, you know, quality support or having an adequate tooling, which one would you pick if you had to choose?
You're asking a developer guy, right? So I'm a big fan of dashboards and I would like to have notifications, alerts, graphics, all sorts of things at the tip of a finger because I would like to constantly be monitoring those numbers. But for somebody who's running a store, doesn't have time to do this, the support guy, I think it's more important to delegate and to ask somebody else what's wrong with you. I know that if I spend 10 minutes on it, I would figure it out, but I don't have those 10 minutes. So yeah, I think for those who are very busy running the stores and doing contacts and figuring out the products and restoring inventory and all of this stuff, delegating, having the support guy there ready is a lot more important than having the fancy dashboards with all the graphics.
Yeah, and I think that's an important piece when we're recommending services. If they have a development team with the necessary skills to be able to do a lot of debugging, troubleshooting, on their own, then the tooling is more important, right? Having SSH, having New Relic and other, you know, phpMyAdmin, those kind of tools to do your investigations. But if you are a store owner who is just starting out, you know, maybe you hired a developer to build your site, but you don't have someone on staff to be able to dive in when things are going wrong, then having support staff, because then the tools don't matter, right? It's like giving me a spaceship, I want to be like, that's really cool, but I don't know how to how to fly the thing or make it launch or anything like that. So yeah, I think obviously having both, then you cover all your bases. But if I'm thinking of the person who's just starting out,
I would say the most successful clients that I've ever worked with are the ones who are not that much worried about those dashboards and fancy information. They are more worried about the people they work with. And so having a good relationship and a partner that has good support is more important than having the numbers in front of them. All right, everyone, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. This was once again Mike and I talking about WooCommerce and performance, and keep talking about performance and performance. It's important. I know we are probably too much a little bit into this subject, but we'll have future awesome episodes ahead with different people coming in. We're going to talk about development as well a lot. So yeah, tune in. Thank you so much for listening. And Mike, I talk with you in the next one.
Sounds good, man. Thank you.